I started thinking, wow, that just sounds like such a great story that there's this sort of historic drink in Mexico called tepache that's been made using corn and now pineapple, and that it was fermented. It was good for your gut, your digestive health, but it was delicious.
I'm your host, Dave Knox, and this is Predicting the Turn, a show that helps business leaders meet their industry's inevitable disruption head on.
Welcome to another episode of Predicting the Turn. Today, we sit down with Alex Matthews, who is the CEO and co-founder of De La Calle. Alex, welcome to the show.
Dave, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh, for sure. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sipping on a mango chili right now.
That's perfect.
Cool. Let's start with that. What was the inspiration story of what led you to launch De La Calle?
Yeah, great question. So I've always been curious about Mexico. I'm actually from the UK. And of course, when you grow up in Europe, Mexico still seems quite exotic. And so after I moved to California back in 2000, Mexico was always a place that had that sort of allure for me. And so, yeah, spent frequent trips down there, both just more so as a traveling tourist, really, with my wife, but then started really like spending extended amount of time down there, dirt bike trips, and really trying to explore the country somewhat away from the tourists. So Baja and Guadalajara, and there's parts of Mexico City, of course, but Monterrey and Oaxaca and et cetera. So anyway, frequent traveler there. And yeah, I guess like over a sort of 10 to sort of 12 year period, had seen tepache there in Mexico in the street vendors and street side, and also in some of the markets that were mostly frequented by locals. And I was always curious about it, and I'd had it and I thought it was delicious, but at the time consciously was projects and wasn't that light bulb moment yet. But over lunch, actually, with a friend of mine, we started talking about fermented foods. And I'm in the food and beverage world and have been for quite some time. And it was always different foods from different countries and fermented foods in general. There's lots of examples, especially in drinks, really globally, Russia, Japan, obviously Mexico, and parts of Europe still. And I started thinking about celebrating some of those products potentially through a single brand or food company. And so my friend and I, we made a list of those drinks. And one of the drinks on the list was tepache, but there's also pulque and, you know, flavored drinks that are used in other types of things. There's pulque, there's tepache, there's also other fermented products from Mexico. But anyway, tepache was on the list, and I happened to be there in Mexico on a trip, and I started to seek it out. So went to the local market I've been to in Mexico City a bunch, and found a tepacheria, sat at the bar and had a tepache. And I noticed that a lot of locals were coming there on their lunch breaks and they were enjoying the beverage. And it definitely felt like sort of part of people's daily routines. And so that really started to captivate me. I was like, I wonder why this product isn't anywhere in the US. And I'm obviously from Europe. I certainly hadn't seen it there either. So I started thinking, I wonder what the origins of tepache are. And so then I started digging really deeper into the history of tepache, which is pretty much pre-Mayan Mexico. So we're talking 1,000-year-plus history. Pre-Aztec Mexico. And it was originally made with corn. And that really is actually what the word tepache means. It's from corn. And it was originally made in a hollowed out agave plant with sugar, local spices, local fruits that were indigenous to that region of Mexico. And as time passed by, people were swapping out the corn for pineapple rind and or just pineapple. And so I started thinking, wow, that just sounds like such a great story that there's this sort of historic drink in Mexico called tepache that's been made using corn and now pineapple, and that it was fermented. It was good for your gut, your digestive health, but it was delicious. And so I went back to my friend who has been in the food and beverage space for some time as an investor. And I just said, I think this Tepache thing is really interesting. We should take a trip to Mexico together. And so really myself and my two friends who I've known through the industry, we took a trip together and we really then started getting much more serious about how much sugar was in Tepache and what kind of flavors were being celebrated regionally across the United States of Mexico. And were there parts of this that we could translate to, say, a U.S. customer and palate? And so, yeah, at the beginning of 2020, we raised a little bit of money from the three of us, really. And we basically decided to put together a little pilot plant. I'm talking like 1,000 square feet, and basically start to ferment our own Tepache. And so really we spent about a year crafting our own Tepache in our little building in an industrial unit up in up near Ventura County in California. And really out of that, we found ourselves with sort of 5 different flavors that celebrated the regions of Mexico, the sort of United States of Mexico. Each state has its own Tepache recipe. And of course, each state also is growing different kind of things, whether it's prickly pear or found in Oaxaca a lot of times, or whether it's like the kind of sugar, whether it's PNCO sugar, or if it's turbinado sugar, or are we using like tamarind or oranges or whatever. So we came up with 5 flavors. And yeah, we really started thinking about how do we put this brand in the market. So that's really where it started. That was really back in, I think the beginning of it was, for me, was really back in sort of late 2018, early 2019. And then we got really serious about it in 2020.
So when you look at launching this and introducing from Mexico to the US market, what challenges did you face in introducing Tepache to the US?
Great question. Yeah. So we always knew that Tepache was a new word for the US market. There wasn't really a Tepache on shelf anywhere. But we also knew that the name of the company, De La Calle, which translates to in the street or of the street in Spanish, because that's where you find Tepache in Mexico, is literally in the street. We always knew those two words combined were basically Spanish. And so that we knew going into it, there would be an education period required. And so I think the immediate challenge was, how do you say it? But also, how do we position this to be like interesting enough for folks to pick it up off the shelf? I think like our initial, and things have changed, but I think our initial feeling was that kombucha had almost been a trailblazer for fermented beverages, and that had gained or grasped a decent grip in the US for consumers. You can pretty much buy a kombucha in every grocery store in America. And so we knew that there was some potential for a fermented drink to become popularized, even though it was a new idea. Like really, kombucha back in the day, GT Dave really introduced something brand new. And even my first experience of drinking it, I didn't know what it was and it didn't taste how I thought it would taste. But with Tepache, it was very extremely delicious, like out of the gate, made with pineapple rind, essentially to kickstart the fermentation, and then adding Mexican sugar and basically spices. And so the flavor profile was already that much better than kombucha, in that it immediately didn't have that vinegary, somewhat visceral taste to it. It almost drank like a Mexican soda. You know, initially we were really hoping that the positioning that Tepache had, which was basically a fermented beverage from Mexico, would be enough to grasp the curiosity of those initial consumers. So I think our biggest challenge initially was educating consumers about what is De La Calle and Tepache. It's this Mexican drink found in the streets of Mexico. It's fermented. It's got good digestive health properties, but that, again, predominantly in Spanish, and yeah, a new word and a new idea. So that was our initial challenge. Obviously, there's been others, but that was certainly our initial challenge. And I think one that we basically spent the first 3 years of the company's life tackling.
Talent is a big part of predicting the turn. And as we talk about talent, I wanted to mention one of our sponsors, Hunt Club. Imagine the power of the best marketers in the world helping you to find your next marketing leader. That's the power of Hunt Club. Hunt Club is a new category of talent company that powers the network of experts, connectors, and business leaders to help you find the best talent. Let's face it, recruiting hasn't changed with the times. Hunt Club is changing the recruiting game by leveraging technology and crowdsourced referrals to find you the best people possible for your company. Stop paying job boards that don't work or recruiting firms that recycle the same active candidates. Partner with Hunt Club.
So talking about other challenges, you recently discussed that you're going to do a refresh of the branding. What led you to that choice and what choices are you making with that update of the branding?
Yeah, so I'd say like when we first launched De La Calle, the growth of the brand was pretty explosive, growing at over 100% year over year for the first few years and really gaining distribution in every state. The product can now be found in around 8,000 doors nationally, and it's available in every state. Whole Foods really kickstarted that back in 2021, where they saw this as a great opportunity for them to introduce something nationally to the Whole Foods guests. And so they took us national pretty quickly. And then a lot of retailers followed suit, Target, Walmart, HEB, and we're now in Kroger and Albertsons, a string of other retailers, Bristol Farms and Lassen's and the regional natural grocery stores out in LA and the same in New York. And so, yeah, I think the initial signs were super duper positive. I think that when we hit year three, I started to become way more conscious about a few different things. One, really the idea that Tepache was really tied in some way to kombucha, I started to feel was actually going to hold us back. The reason for that was I think kombucha has hit a moment of plateau, and likely over the next sort of 4 or 5 years, we'll start to see some small, low single digit decline. And so that was the first thing that I started thinking about. We really need to distance ourselves from anything that would be compared to a kombucha. The second thing was that there is a growing population of Latinos in the United States. And those Latinos, broadly speaking, Mexicans are definitely make up a big part of that. But there are obviously other Latin communities in the U.S. And actually, Tepache is known to those communities. And so also Spanish speaking. And so the education barrier is obviously much, much lower. But I think that we were positioned as a sort of premium product, much like kombucha is. I mean, it's if you compare a kombucha to, say, a regular Mexican soda, the price is pretty vastly different. So I started thinking we're positioned as this premium fermented drink from Mexico when actually this growing population here probably would see that Tepache could be positioned slightly differently. And what was that? And so, because I wanted to attract that customer, of course, and truthfully, over the first 3 years of our life, we were really not selling to that guest. So the third thing that really prompted us to make a shift was, I think that we spent quite a bit of time last year looking at the Mexican soda category. We realized that there was a lot of demand in the U.S. for Mexican soda. We also noticed as well that there were very little players, really just two. And one of those players is already owned by a large strategic. It's Fanta. The other one has been, let's just say, being extremely successful, but rather quietly. And not that many people talk about them. Jarritos is absolutely seeing like massive success in the US and has been since the 1980s. And so I was like, there's a reason that there's only been really one offer in the Mexican soda space. And that's because no one has really thought about how do we do a Mexican soda, but really modernize it. And so when we initially introduced Tepache into the US, we modernized it. In Mexico, it's served in a plastic bag with a straw and a rubber band. And that's how it's served in the tapacherias and street side. And so it's literally a plastic bag and a straw. And so We modernized it. We put it in a can. We carbonated it. We lowered the sugar. We high vitamin C. It's organically certified, things like that. And so I was like, how do we modernize this again and really start to appeal to that person that's wanting to buy Mexican soda, but maybe wants something a little healthier, something that actually has some functional benefit, but also something that still feels like part of their heritage and also something that feels like identifiable as part of something that they could feel proud of. And so that was really the third piece of it was, I think we need to position Tepache as a Mexican soda. I think we need to lower our price point to be less premium and actually more in line with just the better for you soda movement that clearly is growing in popularity in the US, both with, let's call it, white people and the other ethnic groups, including Latinos. But then also, I think, starting to disassociate ourselves with more the kombucha comparison. So maybe talking slightly less so about fermentation and more so about healthy Mexican soda. And so those three things combined really led me to, at the beginning of 2024, to push much more firmly in the direction of we need to reposition this as a modern Mexican soda.
And when are you going to see that really hit the market in a broad way?
Yeah, the timing of our interview of this taping is really, we are in the month of launch of that. And so not only have we updated all of our can art to include modern Mexican soda on the front, we've also updated the romance copy on our cans to be reflective of this new positioning. But we've also lowered our price point nationally as of this month. And then we're also changing our route to market and starting to really align ourselves more so with where you find soda in the grocery stores.
So when you look at changing that footprint and where you find soda and how you go to market, what other changes are you going to be driving in the next 6 months to support that modern Mexican soda positioning?
Yeah, so when you're selling to grocery or retail, changes don't happen quickly. They're relatively slow adjustments. And so it will take us 6 to 9 months to fully realize all of the changes that we're discussing. Certainly price points will change now and can art has already changed, but we still have products on shelf everywhere. And then of course at the retail level, but then of course our distributors also have inventory. And then now we have new inventory of our updated cans. So it will take about at least 4 or 5 months to get to a shelf level where you'll only see the Mexican soda positioning on the cans. Obviously, the pricing will change. But I think from a marketing perspective, we are messaging now as a Mexican soda. And that is a different messaging position for us. I think we have a special opportunity to really basically apply this adjustment, this sort of almost like evolution of De La Calle in the market, because we are found in a lot of places. And so I think if we were starting over from ground zero, it would be harder because clearly there is a lot of energy and attention being given to better for you sodas. But we are already a national brand and we are already selling to a lot of retailers. And so I think that we have an opportunity to really make this change and see the benefits from not only new guests to the brand because of our lower price point, but also guests trying our product because they now really do understand what Tepache is. And it's a Mexican soda. I think that it's become a lot clearer. One last comment on this. I think there clearly has been a couple of success stories, early success stories already in the better for you soda category. And we see that as super positive for the market in general. I also think too that some of those other brands are really going after an American nostalgia and we are going after a Mexican positioning, like Mexican soda. And it's highly popular in the US. So I think that there's room for diversity on retail shelves. I think buyers from the big box retailers like Target, like Walmart, like Aldi, Kroger, and Albertsons, they need to offer diversity, right? They need to cater to, let's be honest, like that Latino guest is 25% of the population by 2028. So there needs to be an offer that speaks to their heritage, and that is De La Calle. Like, we are that brand. And I think we can enjoy sustained success in the US with that positioning. So I think that those are some of the things that we'll be tackling over the next 6 to 9 months.
So related to that, you mentioned the lower price point, and we're coming off of a few years where there's not a single brand that wasn't increasing prices in this kind of inflationary time. How are you leaning in to communicate that more approachable price point and let consumers know about that and use that to your advantage?
Yeah, I think that there's some tried and tested ways to do that through our retail trade programs, neck tags and labels and things like that. Retailers are becoming a little more strict about in store, the sort of do's and don'ts. But building displays is going to be our number one focus. Like, we need to be able to stack the product on the floor, and we need to be able to drive signage that shows the new price point clearly and the new positioning as a Mexican soda. So those displays are the thing that we are most focused on right now and will be, because that's the best way for us to communicate our price in store. And then, yeah, through our efforts on social media, and then again, through our efforts with directly with some of those digital media platforms that most of the retailers now offer, whether it's in-store apps, whether it's through their existing media channels. Most retailers now have that platform for you to utilize. It's definitely expensive. And when you're a growing, young sort of brand, those things do stack up. But we'll be trying to take advantage of as much of that as possible.
So beyond the rebrand, is there anything else that consumers can see coming down the pipeline from a future innovation or new flavors from De La Calle?
Yeah. So with De La Calle, when we started, we really designed it. It was born out of Here Studio, which is an agency I started back in 18. And Here Studio really works with a lot of consumer brands in the food, beverage, and hospitality space. And so we're constantly talking to and also working with some great brands that are in the space, both in beverage, but also in food and snacking. And so our finger is on the pulse pretty much daily on what the trends are and what's happening. And I think that view on the world through the Here Studio lens does help us to have more of a view into the future as to what is coming down the pipe. So we're always thinking about De La Calle, given that it's a house brand. And yeah, we absolutely have some flavor innovation coming. We have one flavor that we're introducing, which I see as part of, let's call it a gateway flavor, Tepache, from what is currently out there as a Mexican soda offering in the market. That flavor is going to be pretty critical for us. And like I said, I think that it's a bridge Tepache from maybe what their parents have been drinking, and or maybe even older first, second generation, third generation Mexicans will see that flavor and recognize it pretty quickly. So there's that. And then in addition to that, we're also working through how do we ultimately improve our formula to be more flavorful and more soda drinking in terms of the use occasion. And so, yeah, absolutely, we'll be moving our products in the direction of soda, but maintaining low sugar, maintaining our organic certification. It obviously is still craft fermented. And of course, that will never go away for us. We definitely want that drinking occasion to feel more like a soda drinking occasion. So yeah, so there's definitely some innovation coming from us in the next 6 months.
I think that's a great place to end the conversation. So I really appreciate you taking the time to share the journey and more about what you have coming down the pipeline for the business.
Dave, thanks so much. It's been an honor, and had a good time chatting with you.
Thanks so much for listening. If you like the show, hit that rating and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And for more resources, head over to predictingtheturn.com.